Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. What a game! An instant classic that unfortunately doesn't go Boston's way, but it didn't even need to go into overtime. We're going to talk about that and that Nick Nurse play here on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go! Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm your Boston Celtics beat reporter, coming to you after a thrilling but heartbreaking 125-122 double overtime loss to the Toronto Raptors in Game 6, which means Game 7 is going to be on Friday. So the Celtics, half second away from a 3-0 lead and basically wrapping up this series. Now this thing has gone 7, and again, Friday night, 9 o'clock. For the series. Thanks to all of the new listeners. If you're out there, you're just checking out the show, really want to welcome you aboard. Thank you. I hope you enjoy it. Typically, in a post-game show, you regular listeners, who, by the way, thank you for your written reviews and your five-star ratings. Really love it. People who are sharing it on Twitter, on social media, love you. Love you for it. The way we do it here on the post-game is positives, negatives, and then the story, kind of like one of the extra stories in this thing. So I am going to do that same formula here. Positives, just that game. Just the game itself is the positive. The negatives, a third quarter again for the Boston Celtics. I can't figure out why. They can't figure out why that third quarter is a problem. And then that Nick Nurse play where Jason Tatum throws it directly to him. He's standing in the corner. I've got thoughts about that. And that's going to be the third segment. That's happening in the third segment. So let's start here with just this game, which was, I mean, take away for a second, if you can, your Celtics fandom. If you're a Raptors fan listening, maybe hate listening or want to rub it in somebody's face, want to revel in the Celtics losing this game. Take away that fandom for a second. Just appreciate the amazing game that was. The Celtics did not substitute after the fourth quarter. Those guys were playing a ton of minutes. They were playing on sheer will. They were gassed. They were tired. Both teams were tired. And it was just big moment after big moment after big moment on both sides. I mean, shout out to Kyle Lowry, who continues to make big shots and came into this game and scored 33 points, 6 of 10 from 3, just clutch, clutch, clutch. And the kid, look, he's clutch, and he has this amazing will to win. He's annoying as all hell with how often he complains to the refs. I mean, it's really annoying, but gotta respect the will to win. And obviously the Celtics have their own guy in Marcus Smart with an intense will to win. Big shots, big steals, big defensive plays, throwing lobs to Daniel Tice out of nowhere. Like all of a sudden the hyper focus on the Celtics perimeter players opened up Daniel Tice, and he was catching lobs and getting dunks and putbacks and layups. I mean, Daniel Tice was almost the hero of this game, but, just those moments were amazing. Jaylen Brown, clutch free throws in overtime. Even Jason Tatum's three-pointer that gave the Celtics at least a chance when they were down 4 in the second overtime, a big shot there. Just every time you turned around, somebody was hitting a big shot. And I found myself getting so wrapped up in this game, standing there in front of my TV, just saying, wow, over and over and over again. And I just have to appreciate the effort that these guys played with. Look at these numbers. Boston played Jason Tatum 51 minutes, 13 seconds. Jaylen Brown 51-10. Marcus Smart 49-49. Kemba Walker 51-41. Daniel Tice 47-26. They just played their starting five and rode them. No Brad Wanamaker, Shemi Ojeleye, Rob Williams, Grant Williams, all those guys who got minutes in the first half and some in the third quarter. After the fourth quarter, none, nothing. Even at the end of the third quarter, the last Celtics sub came with about 23 seconds to go in the third quarter. They rode their horses, baby. They rode them, and they almost did it. On the other side, Kyle Lowry, 53 and a half minutes. Fred VanVleet, 51 minutes. Siakam, 54 minutes. Ananobi, almost 50 minutes. By the end, it was just a matter of will and who could make that last play. I don't know what else to say about that. Like, the Celtics had their opportunities, and trust me, in a couple minutes, I'm going to talk about all of the opportunities they had. They had another bad third quarter. They had a bad end of second quarter. There were plenty of places that you could look to where the Celtics didn't have to be in this position. And you guys know, the regular listeners know, it's one of my favorite things to do and talk about when you're in a position where you go into overtime, you lose an overtime game, a last minute call, last second call. Those are things you can look back and say, here's where we really blew this. Had we missed our opportunities to do this. But before I get to that, it's just, I really want to make sure that my level of appreciation for all of the guys on the floor, for the level of competitiveness, for the just effort, not giving up. Okay, they didn't play perfectly. They made some mistakes, sure. But they never stopped fighting. Neither team stopped fighting. Both teams had four-point leads late that they blew. And that's just a testament to the other team going out there and playing their asses off. And it's just, I can't wait to like be able to sit and watch this game. Not like when I rewatched to see what happened and maybe try to analyze, but just to sit and really appreciate the level of just awesomeness from both sides. Now, the Celtics could have done a lot better. And in the next segment, that third quarter, the end of the second quarter, the turnovers late, Celtics had chance after chance after chance. It did not have to go to a game seven. So that I'm going to talk about in a moment. By the time I get through all of this, I can't figure out what time it is, what day it is. I end up all of a sudden looking up and realizing I haven't eaten in a while. So trust me, I am desperate sometimes, and the DoorDash app bails me out because it allows me to order from basically anywhere in my neighborhood. Whatever I'm working on, whether it's a game, whether it's a preview or another piece or something like that, I know if I want Chinese, if I want pizza, whatever I'm craving, there's something for me and anybody that's with me on DoorDash. I can support my local businesses to make sure that my money is staying local and helping these businesses that have worked really hard to stay open during this pandemic. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. There is a contactless drop-off where you can order from them. They drop it off at your front door. You can go out and pick it up on your own. No interaction if you want to stay safe. You can order from your local restaurants or from national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Cheesecake Factory. They're all there for you. Right now, you can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your first order, zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. If you have a car, then you need anything at all for your car. I know your inclination might be to go to one of those strip malls, one of those national chains, pop in there, look around. Hey, I need wipers. I need this. I need that. Don't bother. Don't waste your time with the trip going out of your way. Don't waste your time asking one of those attendants to type something into a computer. Don't waste your time paying 30 to 50 to 100% more for the exact same parts that you need at one of these chain stores or, heaven forbid, at a car dealership. Do not go to a dealership to buy your parts. Go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com has everything. No different price tiers for a professional mechanic versus a do-it-yourselfer. I didn't realize that was a thing until this. RockAuto.com's prices, they're the same for everybody. They are reliably low. They always offer the lowest prices rather than changing their prices based on what the market will bear. I didn't realize that they had this kind of airline ticket thing to their business model over at these chain stores as well. RockAuto.com, it's a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So whether you need something complicated like an engine control module or brake parts, or if you need something simple like tail lamps or motor oil, it's all at RockAuto.com. So go there right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's the most important part for us. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Make sure you're writing Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. All right, the positive tone of the first segment is now giving way to the negative tone of the second segment. And this is where we look at how the Celtics could have avoided this double overtime loss. And the first thing that we can look at is the third quarter, where the Celtics were outscored 33-25. Did you know that in third quarters this series, the Boston Celtics have been outscored by 37 points combined? The Celtics in the series overall have outscored Toronto by 32. So in games 1-6, Boston is plus 32 versus Toronto. In third quarters, minus 37. They continue to dig themselves holes, and they continue to make it difficult to climb out of these holes. It's just self-inflicted crap. And I asked Kemba Walker after the game, why does this keep happening? And he said, I wish I could tell you. I wish I knew. Like, yeah, we know. I've asked this question, it's six games. I've asked this question probably four different times. And they're probably sick of hearing it, and I'm sick of asking it. And you're sick of watching it. The Boston Celtics in third quarters, they know they're bad in third quarters. Brad Stevens, I asked him. He said, they're playing with more force than we are. How the hell are the Celtics coming out and letting Toronto play with more force when you know in third quarters that you suck? How are you letting them outplay you? How are you making these mistakes? And it started right away. Marcus Smart, first possession of the third quarter. The halftime graphics are just slowly wiping off of the ESPN screen. And Marcus Smart blows by Pascal Siakam. Wide open lane. Wide open. And if you go to my Twitter, if you go to my story on masslive.com, you'll see the screenshot that I took. Smart is on his way to the rim. There are three separate feet in the paint. Not players, just their feet. 1 foot each in the lane. And the person with the best chance at stopping him, maybe, possibly, would be Kyle Lowry, who's flat-footed looking straight at him. I just can't. Marcus Smart has this wide open lane, passes out of it. What are you doing? Like, that's just a mind-boggling decision because it's Marcus Smart. He had a triple-double. He had a generally awesome game. I screwed up not mentioning him in the positives because he had a generally awesome game. He hit 6 three-pointers in this game, 6 of 10, 12 of 20. I'm sorry, that was 7 of 15 from the field, 6 of 11 from 3. 10 assists, 10 rebounds, 11 rebounds, sorry. Just 2 turnovers, a steal. It's an awesome game from Marcus Smart. An awesome game from Marcus Smart. But in that moment, now we're looking at, hey, we're heading into overtime. Where are 2 points here and there that the Celtics could have gotten? Well, there's 2 points right there on a layup that he just passed up. And the worst part about it is Tatum misses a shot. He tries to drive. It's contested. He misses. They turn around. They go down the other end. Marc Gasol, three-pointer. Of all people, Marc Gasol, three-pointer. 5-point swing. Then later, the flagrant one foul on Fred VanVleet. Now, let's talk about this foul. Was that a flagrant foul? Was he trying to pull the Zaza Pachulia and undercut VanVleet? I don't think so. But this is a point of emphasis. This is a point of emphasis in the NBA. You cannot impede a shooter's landing spot. You cannot set foot in a spot where he's landing. Did he kick his feet out? Did Fred VanVleet kick his feet out? Yeah, a little bit. And that's a problem for me. That guys, you know, if you're jumping, if somebody is jumping straight up to contest the shot and he comes straight down and the guy jumps forward and kicks his feet out and lands on your foot, that's not a foul. That's not a foul. But Marcus Smart didn't do that. He just kind of lost focus for a second and went to contest and he stuck his right foot out. Like, that's, even if VanVleet kicks his feet out and lands an extra foot forward, just because Marcus Smart put his foot out, the way he landed was moving towards VanVleet, that's going to get called all the time. And he landed directly on top of Marcus Smart's foot. That's going to be a flagrant one all the time. So you may disagree with the call, and I disagree with certain elements of how that call is officiated, but with that point of emphasis, that you have to know, you have to be aware where your feet are. And Smart, in all of this awesomeness in his game, for these few minutes, is losing focus. And of all people, Marcus Smart, you can't have that. It sucks that you say that because it's a guy who's played an otherwise generally perfect game. So, yeah, he's going to screw up sometimes, but those are loss of focus mistakes. And I that's where you get into trouble. The loss of focus. Not like, oh, I tried too hard, or oh, I made a wrong decision, or oh, you know, I didn't rotate. Like, there's that really is kind of inexcusable. So not only does he get 3 free throws, which he makes, they retain possession and he gets a 3-pointer. Now all of a sudden Toronto's in the lead. And from then on, it's a dogfight. It really is. Up until that point, up until the third quarter, it felt like the Celtics were mostly in control. So let me rewind a little bit to another negative and fold that into this. With 1:40 left to go in the second quarter, the Celtics are up 10. And this is a perfect opportunity for the Celtics to get a stop, maybe go into the half up 12, 14 more? No. What do? They let up. Kyle Lowry steps into a 3. Kemba Walker stuck on the screen. Now that's a 7-point lead. Then a turnover that may have been deflected. Who knows? They were very adamant that it was deflected. But Jaylen Brown arguing with the refs to the point where Brad Stevens is like, come on, get back on defense. loss of focus, getting too caught up in what's going on with the refs. Okay, they missed the call. Get back. What happens? Lowry jumper in a pick and roll. Then Brad Wanamaker drives and tries a wraparound pass to Daniel Theis, which Daniel Theis put his hand up. That should have been him. He should have caught that, of course. But when the hell has Brad Wanamaker ever passed up a layup? He is always... Brad Wanamaker never passes in that situation. I kind of don't blame Daniel Theis. Why would you ever expect that from Brad Wanamaker? He never passes those up. All of a sudden, he's trying the wraparound pass, which, by the way, was the right play. So, yeah, it was sort of Daniel Theis's fault, but man, I really understand him looking towards the rim for a shot to come off the rim and maybe tip back the offensive rebound. I totally understand that. I think Brad Wanamaker in that situation has passed maybe twice all season. That's one of them. And then Norm Powell hits a three off of that turnover. So all of a sudden, it's an 8-0 run. The Celtics, up until 1:40 to go in the second quarter, were in complete control. It was close, but it felt like the Celtics were in complete control. All of the Toronto Raptors fans that I follow, Toronto Raptors writers that I follow, bloggers that I follow, up until that point, they were like, oh, God. They were upset. This thing was getting away from them. They knew it. And then in that stretch, they were like, oh, okay, hold on. There's a little bit of life. So this is where I really lose my patience with the Celtics. Because you knew that you let your foot off the gas, you gave them an 8-0 run, and that could have been an 8-0 run. Then you say, all right, that was nice. In the whole recap of the game, it could have been Celtics made an 8-0 run to close the first half, but the Celtics came out and took control back in the second half, and blah, blah, blah. Game one is against Miami is on this day. Like, that should have been the storyline. The Celtics knew, okay, we screwed up. We gave them a little bit of life. Let's come out of this half, and let's just take that back. Let's take this life back out of them. And let's just cruise. Let's come out and do what we did in the first quarter. Just drive, kick. Man, they were awesome on those driving kicks in the first quarter. Nope. Come out, screw up, screw around, lose focus. And like I said, Kemba after the game said, yeah, we were aware of it. We knew it. We know it. You still did it. You know that Toronto's going to come out and play like that in the third quarter. They're going to push the tempo. They're going to push the issue. I don't understand. The last negative here, Kemba Walker's game. Now, this game was, he was much better. So, okay, 5 points, 2 of 11 shooting, 1 of 6. But he did have 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 turnovers. Okay. So, he probably was fouled on the last play of regulation. So, that's going to happen. There are going to be instances. As weird as this bubble has been, and as weird as that one day of games where all of a sudden the refs decided to call last-second fouls, like, now that's not a foul? Okay. But that happens. But I thought that Kemba, in the first half, first of all, they were playing box on one, and they were trying to take him out. So he was kind of non-existent in the first half. But that's fine. The Celtics were good in the first half. In the second half, maybe he was a little too out of rhythm. He made some big shots. And then he also, in a crucial run for the Celtics to kind of get back into this in the fourth quarter, he was driving and he was kicking and he was responsible. Those 7 assists, that a lot of those came in that fourth quarter where he was collapsing the defense and kicking it out. And all of a sudden the Celtics were back to hitting their corner threes. And that was an awesome little run for the Celtics. I mean, that was right at the beginning where Boston got the lead back in the fourth quarter. And I thought Kemba was really responsible for a lot of that. But he, after the game, very hard on himself. I think that, sure, he had some moments where, you know, there were some shots that he missed. I don't think his game was quite as bad. Now, the Nick Nurse play. That, I got some thoughts on that. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. You all know, and I just spent an entire segment talking about this kind of stuff. When it comes down to an overtime, when it comes down to a single play, when it comes down to a judgment call or a referee's call, there's always places that you can go to say, okay, we didn't need to be in that situation. And I stand by all of that, all of the stuff I just said about the third quarter. It's all true. The Celtics never should have been down there. Tie game with 43 seconds left. Never should have been like that. Should have been cruising to a 12-point win. But in this moment, okay, we've gotten to this point. The Celtics got it from 98-94 to 98 all. Jason Tatum, with 43 seconds left, has turned, and the defender in the corner slides over to cut off his attack of the rim. Now, Daniel Theis is in the corner, but also in the corner to Daniel Theis's left, with a foot on the black painted out of bounds line, is Nick Nurse, who, crouched over, is a white guy with brown hair. And I'll tell you what, if you've played any level of professional or any level of organized basketball, there are times where you turn a corner, you're trying to make a play, and out of the corner of your eye, you see a figure. And you see, at that point, it's very obvious. If it was anybody besides Daniel Theis in the corner, it might have been a different story. If Jaylen Brown was standing in that corner, Jason Tatum might not have turned around and fired it at Nick Nurse. But here we are with the Celtics wearing their green and Nick Nurse in gray, so it's a kind of a darkish color. He turns, he catches out of the corner of his eye the glimpse of this white guy crouching over with brown hair. And he throws it directly to him. Directly to him. The ball almost hit Nick Nurse in the chest. That's a pivotal moment. The Celtics had just closed the gap. Daniel Theis had just hit a bunch of shots. Get it to him in the corner. If he hits that three, now the entire dynamic of this game changes. But beyond that, Nick Nurse standing in the corner with a foot on the painted area with the out of bounds is not in any kind of coach's box. And for a coach to wander far enough out of the coach's box like that, that's a technical foul. The officials should turn around and see that the head coach is standing there with a foot on the corner. He was basically a step almost onto the court during play. And he affected the game by doing so. Now, maybe that wouldn't have mattered. I don't know what would have happened because we don't get a chance to see it. They could have called a technical foul. They could have missed the free throw. Boston could have gotten possession. They could have turned it over. They might have lost in regulation for all I know. If that play was called, I can't sit there and say it would have won or lost the game. You know, there are 2-3 possessions left after that, even if they call it. But that play becomes not just not a technical foul on Nick Nurse, but a turnover on the Boston Celtics, which now we're looking at going into overtime. No one else scored, by the way. No one else scored. Siakam missed the layup. The Celtics had a chance. That was the Kemba missed layup, which may have been a foul. But to let that happen, it just doesn't sit well with me. To allow a coach to impact a play, to allow a coach to impact a play on the floor by standing 12 feet, 15 feet from where he's supposed to be standing. Like, I get it. You add a little leeway. It's empty. The gym is empty. There aren't fans. There is some leeway. I get it. But he would have been sitting, he would have been standing in the front row of the baseline seats. That would never, ever, ever, ever be allowed in an NBA game. And something like that bothers me. And it doesn't even bother me because, oh, that could have won the Celtics the game. It just bothers me that it was blatantly obvious. And I didn't see it at first. I had to watch the replay. And people send me the screenshots. It's blatantly obvious what Jason Tatum did. Blatantly obvious. To allow that. That has to be addressed by the NBA. It has to be. They cannot just let coaches stand wherever the hell they want on the floor just because it's an empty gym. And I don't think Nick Nurse said, hey, watch me stand next to Daniel Tice and see if I can get him to throw the ball out of bounds. I think Nick Nurse, in watching the replay, is just intense and wrapped up in the game, and the referee was standing in front of him, so he took a step to his left, and then Daniel Tice was standing in front of him, so he took another step to his left, and he kept going left, 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 so he can get a view, and next thing you know, he's way, way out of the box. I don't think it was intentional, but unintentional things are fouls and technical fouls all the time. Jason Tatum got called for a technical foul, another insane call for his arm flailing. He was trying to... That's another one. But, you know, I don't blame the refs for things like that happen. But something as egregious as what Nick Nurse did, that one bugs me. That one bugs me. And I'm very curious to see how the NBA handles that. Because they have to respond to that somehow. You can't sit there and watch a team potentially lose because of that play. The Celtics, again, Toronto doesn't score after that. They didn't score in the last 2 minutes. In fact, Toronto didn't score. When's the last time they scored? Well, it was about two. Wow. They didn't score in the last 4 minutes of the game. Ananobi hit a jumper with 4:24 on the clock. And they didn't score again for the rest of the game, the rest of the regulation. So that one is, I'm going to stop repeating myself, but that one does get me. That one, that works me up, because that's so blatant and outrageous that play affected a basketball game. You know, it's not just a missed call. It's not just an interpretation of the rules. The coach standing in a spot caused the player to throw the ball out of bounds, and that affected the outcome of the game. However, it affected it. So, that's the show. The Celtics are now heading into Game 7, which is Friday night. Normally, I don't do a post-game podcast. Maybe I'll record that. That game starts at 9. So just so you guys know, time-wise, 9 is not going to be 9. It's going to be like 9:15, 9:20. And that game's going to end at like almost midnight. And I'm not going to get done working with myself at Mass Live till probably almost 2 o'clock. I don't know if I'm going to record a podcast at 2 a.m. Maybe I'll save one. Maybe I'll do one on Saturday. I don't know. But just letting you guys know, the post-game pod after Friday is probably not happening, one way or the other. We'll see, but probably not happening. This is generally a Monday through Friday podcast. We'll see if I can make a special allowance, depending on how that goes. Maybe I'll do a special one on Saturday. We'll see. Until then, the best thing you can do is subscribe to the show so this way you know when a podcast drops, it's coming directly to your device. It's the easiest way to do it. If you use Spotify, you can follow the show on Spotify and it'll show up right there for you. No problem. All of you regular listeners, a 5-star rating, a good written review would be amazing. As always, I love it. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.